What is SignalR? This is going to be a very high-level intro talk. I've done about a dozen SignalR talks over the last year, not necessarily once a month, but I've done quite a few of them. A few of them are online. I did a talk on SignalR at TechEd Europe that's online. I also did a talk at the Arizona .NET User Group meeting. They have an annual meeting with Scott Guthrie, and this year they had Scott Hanselman. And as Scott Hanselman has renamed me, B. Scott Gaster. So the three of us were there, one of the bigger honors of my career. And I talked about SignalR and Windows Azure there. I'm not going to get too deep into it today, but if you like what you see here, I can direct you to some other talks, not only mine, but a couple of other people throughout the world. But basically, SignalR is real time. Anybody heard of WebSockets? How about Socket.io in the Node world? Okay. This guy's hand goes way up. Love Socket.io. Okay, SignalR is like that for .NET. You can do WebSockets. You can do Socket.io. You can do SignalR. And SignalR basically is an abstraction, and I'll get into that in a second. But you don't have to learn the inner workings of WebSockets or server send events or any of that magic if you just choose to use SignalR, because SignalR basically figures out the best way to party and picks that. And the way that it figures that out is it asks the server, hey, can you do this? And it asks the client, hey, can you do this? And if they say yes, it goes with that technology. And it's basically got a series of different ideas that it will trickle down through, and I'll show you the SignalR script today so you can kind of see what that looks like. The first one's WebSockets. If the server and the client support WebSockets, SignalR will do real-time across WebSockets. If it won't, it'll try server send events, and it'll go down the wire from there. It'll just keep trying every single thing that it can support until it gets to like the lowest common denominator, and I can't remember what it is. But for example, one of the lower denominators is something called long polling. And I'll talk a little bit about long polling today during this talk. But here's what we're going to talk about. I'm going to define SignalR for you. SignalR is real time. We're going to build a chat application. A chat application is kind of the hello world of SignalR. It's kind of the 100 level or 99 level demo that you can do with SignalR. I'm going to show that today. I'm also going to show you how to build a multiplayer game. You guys like games, right? So I'm going to show you how SignalR can help you build a game. And this game was built by a colleague of ours named Haishi Bai. Haishi's a cloud service guru, you know, Service Bus and all that good stuff. And he recently got into SignalR. I like to say that I got him hooked on it. But once you see it today, you'll probably be hooked too. I have yet to show SignalR to somebody, to a room of people, without at least three of the people literally going back to their desk and begin working on it right away. They're so jazzed. And hopefully, I'll get more than three out of this room. So, let me go ahead and move along. So, what is it? Pardon me. It is a series of libraries, and we're going to talk about what those libraries are today, looking at NuGet. It's a series of libraries that provide an abstraction around a persistent HTTP. You all should have just gone, because that doesn't make sense. Those two things really shouldn't go together. Persistent HTTP connections. How many of you just went, when you saw persistent HTTP and you thought, well, Tim Berners-Lee said that the benefit of HTTP is that it's stateless. How can I have persistent stateless connections? We're going to talk about that today. So what is that in English? What is that in English? SignalR makes real-time HTTP so easy, it looks like magic. Perfect time for my favorite quote by Arthur C. Clarke. You guys ever seen this? I repeated this quote to myself about 300 times the first time I saw SignalR because I could tell that it was going to change everything. And in my opinion, it's changed a lot about the way we do things, not only with web technology, but at Microsoft. SignalR was started by David Fowler and Damian Edwards. And they were basically on different teams, kind of up the hall from one another. And one of them said, hey, I got this idea for persistent HTTP. And the other one said, hey, I've got the same idea. I've kind of got 30 lines of code working on it. The other guy said, oh, I got about 10 lines of code working on it. Let's get together. So they got together, one of them had some beers, and they kind of came up with this whole idea. And then it snowballed. They did it on GitHub. They managed all their source code on GitHub. And today, if you go out to GitHub, SignalR is the number one watched C# project on GitHub. That's a pretty big claim to fame. There's a lot of C-sharp projects on GitHub. So what happened was, Hanselman got a hold of it, I got a hold of it. I'm not comparing us because there's absolutely no comparison at all. But we started to talk about it. And then people in other countries started to look at it, started to talk about it. People started to catch on to it, and they thought, wow, this is really cool. This is going to change everything. All right? And they began to play with it. It's open source. We wanted to bring it in to the ASP.NET pipeline. We wanted to bring it in as a part of it. Those guys were like, well, it's open source. Kind of saw what happened, right? Now, lots of our stuff is open source. Now, I'm not standing up here and telling you officially that SignalR is the reason that all that stuff is open source. But let's say you've got this huge open source project that everybody grabs a hold of, and everybody loves, and everybody sees potential in, and everybody starts to see, wow, there's like 400 people contributing to this project. People are just writing clients for SignalR just for fun. This is exciting. I wonder if we can get that same kind of excitement if we open source other stuff. Guess what? We did. So that's kind of how it changed things. Now, somebody was talking earlier about Ajax. Anybody used Ajax? I'm going to mitigate Ajax for you right now. I'm going to mitigate it. You're no longer going to need Ajax. That's not to say that SignalR is better than Ajax. Ajax has its place. I love using jQuery to call Ajax methods. I think it's awesome. But imagine if you could do it in real time. A server fires an event, something happens on the client. Let me say that again. An event fires on the server, and the client responds to it. Real quickly, how many of you have used the dynamic keyword in C#? Okay, let me ask you the dangerous question. How many of you hate the idea of the dynamic keyword in C#? Don't be afraid. The best part is like two hands went up. I have a funny story about that, but I won't tell it right now, so we don't have a lot of time. But I've asked that question before, and one hand went up, and I picked on the gentleman for probably the entire rest of my talk. And after the talk, somebody came up to me, and they said, hey, that guy you were picking on, that guy you were calling dynamic guy, you know who that was? Just some dude, right? That was John Skeet. You guys know who John Skeet is, right? He's like super MVP. Like, when he talks, people like listen and jump. I was kind of embarrassed, but we had a nice laugh about it together afterwards, and everything kind of worked out. I think if he saw me again, he'd probably hit me in the throat, but you know, I wouldn't blame him at all. So what I did was I just created an empty web project, bare bones, absolutely as minimal as I can get. Now, what I want to point out real quickly here is that SignalR, again, was created in an open source fashion. Oh, that could have been ugly. Nuget.org. And what's kind of happened over time is the popularity's grown. People have gotten into it. People like it a lot. It got brought into the ASP.NET moniker. So now it's a part of ASP.NET. Am I going to find Nuget? When you install the fall preview bits, you're going to get things like SignalR hub item templates. So now you don't have to know as much. You can kind of get started a little bit more quickly. You can make your life a little bit easier by getting started. Now what I'm going to do here is just go up here to the search, and I'm going to do a search real quick for SignalR. And we'll find quite a few packages. And I'm going to talk to you about what some of those packages are. Just kind of go through the lay of the land. But before I do that, I'm going to change one very important menu item. I'm going to change this guy. Right now it says stable only. I'm going to switch it to include pre-release. And now I'm going to get a whole lot more packages. Why is that? The SignalR team is very actively working on the 1.0 release of SignalR, which will be released, you gotta love it when a Microsoft guy says this, very soon. All right, SignalR is going to be released very soon. That we should have given you some evidence of that by the fact that when you install the fall preview bits, you've got SignalR item templates in there. So that should tell you, yeah, we're really putting our money where our mouth is. We're making a bigger investment in SignalR. Reason I did include pre-release is that these are not completely signed off on yet. These aren't completely baked. They're still working on them. I mean like 23 hours a day working on them. Their team room is hilarious. Like, you can't go in there if you've got thin skin. These guys work all the time. They're always together. They're just hilarious guys. So what I'll do is I'll scroll down real quickly, and I'll show you the different components that you can get out of NuGet. And the first one is that Microsoft ASP.NET SignalR. We're just going to call it SignalR. Everybody okay with that? No problems? So we've got the core, then we've got the JS, we've got hosting, blah, 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 common hosting libraries, a bunch of other libraries. All right? Why do we have all that stuff? I'm going to tell you in just a second. I'm going to go and look at some of those components. I'm going to come back to the demo, so I'm going to show you that demo all at the same time. Get your whistle wet a little bit. But before I do that, I want to kind of talk about how it works. And then I'm going to tell you what those different components are that you saw in NuGet. That's a hilarious ringtone. I'm going to show you kind of how it works and talk about the different components and what they mean in NuGet, how you can get them in NuGet. And then we're going to pull some down, write a little bit of code, and you'll see what I'm talking about here. So here's SignalR on old servers or clients. Old is sort of a catchy term. If it doesn't support WebSockets, put it that way. So anything before this year. So this is SignalR with an old server and an old client. You use this concept similar to long polling. What you do is the client says, you got data, you got data, you got data, you got data, you got data. More to the point, what it does is it says, do you have anything? And it just kind of hangs out. Just waits for the server to say, yeah, here you go. So the server says, okay, I've got some data. Here you go. As soon as he gets that data back, you know what he does? Starts the whole process over again. How many of you have written some sort of an AJAX polling mechanism in your own code? Don't be ashamed. How many of you have enjoyed the process? Okay, if you'd had this, you wouldn't have had to do that. Yes, this particular idea with SignalR, long polling, is very similar to code that you would have to write if you wanted to do that yourself. So I poll and I wait, and I poll and I wait, and I poll and I wait. But they've written it for you. Not only have they written that for you, but they've written the other abstractions that sit on top of things like WebSockets or server-sent events. Now, let's say you had written your polling mechanism, and then somebody comes out with something like WebSockets or server-sent events. They say, hey, we want you to rewrite this to use long polling, to no longer use long polling, but to use server-sent events or WebSockets. You pretty much have to go back to the drawing board, right? With SignalR, you don't, because it'll pick which one is the best based on the client and the server, and party on that, and if it's an old browser or an old server, it'll just trickle down until it finds the lowest common denominator. So this is what it looks like when it's doing polling. And these are Hanselman slides. I borrowed them from him. You've probably seen him do this a little bit funnier. Here's what it looks like with SignalR on a newer server and a newer client. So you've got IE10 or trying to think of some other browsers that support. I think Chrome supports it. Those are the only two that I ever use. In terms of the server side, let's say you're running Windows Server 2012 in an Azure VM. That supports WebSockets. So now you can do WebSockets. I believe you can run WebSockets in IIS Express locally. Don't quote me on that. I've never actually tried it. John, do you know? Okay, he doesn't know either. If he doesn't know, it can't be known. All right, well, here's what happens with that kind of situation. Client says, hey, I do real time. I do WebSockets. I do server-sent events. Do you do this? Server says, yep, I'm good. And then they basically open up a two-way connection. You guys remember push technology, like 88? This is like that, but it works. And it's really easy to use. And I'm going to show you how when we do the demo in just a second. So that's old and the new. So basically, you don't have to worry about what the underpinning is. You just put SignalR between the two guys and everything will work. Now, how do you get SignalR? How do you start working with it? Pretty much you use NuGet. So what I'll do here is I'll go into my IDE. And I'm going to go and open up NuGet. Okay, so here we go. Oh, shoot. Sorry. Thank you, people.
While you're doing that, somebody in the chat room said that WebSockets is supported on IIS Express 8.
Cool,
on Windows 8.
Right. So you can do that. And there are other servers that support it as well. Now I've just opened up NuGet here, and I'm going to type install package, and I have to spell the whole thing out, microsoft.asp.net.signalr. And here's the catch. Because I don't want to get the 0.5.3 release, which is what you'll get if you omit pre. If I put pre in there, I'm going to pull down the 10 alpha bits, not the 053 bits. That's important, because if you forget that pre, you'll get the old stuff. And that's okay. The old stuff works real well. I still haven't converted all my demos over to the new stuff yet. I like the old stuff a lot. I like the new stuff a lot, too. But there are some breaking syntactical changes between 053 and 10. It's good that very few hands went up, because now nobody's lamenting the fact that they have to go and change their code, right? It's not a lot of changes, but there are some changes. So I'll go ahead and hit enter here, and we're going to pull all that stuff down. And what I'm going to pull down is a couple of different references. You'll see the SignalR there. I'm pulling in jQuery because I got to have jQuery to run. I'm also going to pull in SignalR.js, I believe is what it's called, and hosting.aspnet. Now what I'll talk about in a second are the different hosting functions that you can do with SignalR. In the up to 053 releases, you could host in ASP.NET, or you could host using what's called self-hosting. So you could basically fire up a console app, create a host just like you can with Web API, and host SignalR directly in your EXE. Now, I've done this a lot using Windows Azure Worker Roles. But what's happening is that they're basically changing some of that functionality. It seems like I'm having some problems pulling some stuff down. They're changing some of the functionality. Have you guys ever heard of OWIN, the Open Web Interface for .NET? It's kind of an open source way of you accessing stuff in .NET on a web server. Anybody ever heard of NancyFX? For the Ruby people, have you heard of Sinatra? Because Nancy is kind of borrowed from that idea. All those things, not the Ruby stuff, but the .NET stuff is built on top of OWIN. Soon there might be something like an OWIN host for SignalR. So you could host SignalR in a console app and a worker role, wherever you want to host it. You can see that there's more of an adoption of these open source pieces of work with the different teams working in web technology and Azure technology right now than there has been in the past. There's a reason for that. It's not bad technology. It's not bad code. There's some good lessons to be learned from the open source community. When they write their own stuff, sometimes it's really good. Sometimes it's really bad. But you have to try it out and figure out what you want to use. Looks like I'm having a problem pulling down those dependencies. So what I'm going to do here, of course that's going to happen. Am I not connected to the internet yet? Oh, looks like I'm connected. No internet access. That could be bad. Of course that would happen. Apparently the internet has gone out when I need it most. So what I'm going to do now is I'm going to open this guy up. I'm going to go into my demo since I can't actually pull everything down and do the demo for you. And I'm going to open up this chat guy, this chat solution right here. And I'm going to walk through the code rather than type it all out for you. Before I do that, I can't enable Zoom it. Sorry about that. This computer apparently doesn't have Zoom it on it. That's not good. Nope. Okay. So what I've done is pulled in all these references, and this is a project that I've already written that pulled it all in. And you'll see here that I've got a couple of SignalR branded packages. If I can find one. Of course, that's the start. Shucks. That's the start project. There's the end project. The reason we have the start and end is so you guys can kind of get the start project and begin to use it and play with it. What I'll do now is open up my packages file, and maybe I'll have them in there now. Okay, so you'll see here I've got SignalR, then I've got SignalR.core, then the hosting stuff, and that stuff is used to basically host your SignalR hubs, which I'll talk about in a second. It's kind of the main thing behind SignalR. And then they've actually divided those projects up into a separate one called SignalR.js. And that pulls in all the JavaScript files you need for SignalR. I believe there's one or two, not many. We'll take a peek at that in a moment. So it pulls that in. Bless you. If you wanted to write an application where you host SignalR yourself outside of ASP.NET, you probably pull in a different one called SignalR.Server that you kind of get the server-side SignalR stuff that you can begin to work with. So here we go. We've got our stuff. We're all ready to pop. And what I will do at this point is go over here into my Views guy, and I'm going to open up this home so I can get to it in just a second. Right here, I've got this hub called Chat Hub. I'll go ahead and open that up. And you'll see, pretty easy. I have a very simple method, send message, and I'm passing it a dynamic. I could pass it a statically typed object if I wanted to. I could pass it a primitive if I want to. That would be okay. So I can pass it whatever I want to pass it, except for one thing. I cannot pass it binary data. So I can't send binary data over SignalR, but I can send anything else I want. Okay? Just want to make that clear. It's all text, so you should kind of infer from that that it's pretty secure. They're working on the security aspects of SignalR right now as well to make it even more secure, and they're working on the performance of SignalR to make it more performant. By more performant, I'm not implying that it's not performant right now. Let's say I have a SignalR hub that I've got running on one server. You guys have any idea how many clients I can connect to that SignalR hub that are all doing real time, all the time, between one another? 40,000. They've benchmarked it at 40,000. You know the first thing to die when they're doing a SignalR load test like that? The network card. The CPU is flat. The memory usage is flat. The network card dies. You're flooding it with data. Is that to say that you're going to flood your network card with data every time you use SignalR? No. These are perf tests. They want it to die. Here's the goal. There's some improvements going on right now with SignalR, and to make it more of an architecture, to do more nifty things with it. The goal is 500,000 simultaneous connections on one hub. 500,000 users doing real-time communication using one server and one hub. We'll talk about how you can get even higher than that. There are other products out there. You guys might have heard of Pusher.com or Pusher.net. There's a bunch of different open source, not open source, but proprietary services that do real time. They give you a URL, you give them money, they tell you how many simultaneous connections you can have, and you send information to that URL on one end, and you listen on the other end. So far, all the different licenses that we've seen, they cap out around 5,000. So all these other companies, we can do real time. How many users can I have? Once you get to 5,000, we kind of have to set up a special call with you. Just use SignalR. You got 40 out of the box. If you want to put something on it like a backplane, which I'll introduce here in a minute, sky's the limit. You can go crazy. You can load balance SignalR just like you can load balance your website. Okay? So I've got this simple little method here called send message, and I'm passing it a dynamic. And then inside of that method, I'm making a call to clients. Okay, now remember, I'm inheriting from a class up here called hub. Now if I look at what that guy has, if I do this, dot, see I've got clients, I've got context, I've got groups, and I've got other methods. Okay, what do you think clients is? Anybody want to take a stab at what I mean when I say clients.all? Everybody talking to you. Everybody that's connected at that time. Let's say I'm using groups. What do you think groups is for? Groups is so that I can put me into one room, you into one room, he can join your room, you guys can chat, I can't see what you're talking about, or you can get out into the lobby and we can all talk. You know what I just described? The flagship product that they used to build SignalR. It's called Jabber.net. J-A-B-B-R. .net. I wonder if the internet's back online yet. See if my buddy Al Gore is at work.
You mentioned performance, Brady, while you're waiting there. Mm-hmm. Is that based on WebSockets, or does it matter on the polling type whether the performance will change?
I don't know the answer to that question. I know that the tests that they've done across the board. You're going to probably get better performance with WebSockets than you would with anything else. It's going to be web, and this is the order they go in, WebSockets, service and events, and then everything else. Forever Frame is one of them, and Long Polling is another one. There's five that we cycle through. Can't remember what order they go in, but you can imagine from good to bad, that's what you're going to go with. Okay, so WebSockets is going to be, you know, fast. Service and events is going to be fast. Long Polling, yeah, pretty fast. But I think that what they've done is they've benchmarked it with WebSockets. So
I don't know exactly what those, I don't know what those terms mean exactly. Does that mean there's a lot of HTTP requests that are happening consistently?
Well, the short answer to that question is you don't need to know what those technologies are because you've got SignalR, because it's an abstraction. You write to it whenever a better one comes out in 3 years, they'll just add that one in. Would it behoove you to know how those technologies work? Of course. Would it behoove your real-time development? Not necessarily. If you just party with SignalR, you're going to be okay. But they're all very deep technologies, way, way beyond the scope of this 30-minute conversation. But you would need to know how they all work to be able to use SignalR on top of them. Does that answer your question?
What about the HTTP requests? Are we going to, like, if I look at developer tools, am I going to see pings or requests constantly going?
No, I'll show you what it looks like. It looks like one open connection.
Okay.
It is an open connection. Now, how many of you just thought, well, I heard this thing about IIS that it can only have 25 connections or 25 threads, and then it'll die and blah, blah, blah. Yeah, that's right, unless you're doing asynchronous programming. If you're doing asynchronous programming, no problem. That's what SignalR is. Remember, Damien is basically the PM, principal PM, I can't remember the title. He's the god of ASP.NET. He told me one time that all the asynchronous functionality that exists in ASP.NET has existed for years, for numerous versions, but it was very difficult to use. They've made it dirt simple, absolutely dirt simple, by creating this abstraction around it. It's an open connection. That means you're connected. If it's WebSockets or service and events, then it's going to be an open connection. If it's long polling, it's going to be going like this, but it won't look like that. It'll look like one long-running connection, and if nothing happens, like you set a timer in your hub for like an hour, you'll see the connection open, and it won't do anything, and then you see the connection open again, because SignalR times out. It goes, hey, the server's not working, I'm going to cut my connection and try again. So it will recycle itself like that. But the important part to point out there is that it's asynchronous, so some of the typical rules that you've learned about IIS don't exist. Okay? So I've got my hub. I've named it right here. And what's important is if I take a look at this client's guy, specifically if I take a look at all, and I hit, of course it's not going to do it now, I hit all there, that says dynamic expression. So those of you that don't like dynamics, I'm going to change your mind right now. I was one of you. I did not get it. I thought Ruby was awesome. Don't mess with my .NET. I like my statically typed things. Once I use SignalR, changed my mind. Here's why. This guy, this all, I'm telling it that it's got a method called onReceiveMessage. Let's call that an event handler. Just call it an event handler, just for giggles. So I've got this event handler. When that method runs, something's going to happen on the client. What do you think it is? That method. That method's going to run on my client. So I have to put that method into my client code. So I'll show you what that looks like. So I've got clients.all.onReceiveMessage. I'll go over here to my view, and I'll open it up. And I don't have a lot of fancy code in here until I get down to scripts. And here's the first step. If you want to use SignalR, you have to bring in jQuery, and then you have to bring in the SignalR JavaScript that you get with one of those NuGet packages that we pulled down, the SignalR.js NuGet package. This is just a JavaScript file stuffed into your scripts folder. All right. Next thing I have to do is I have to do kind of a page load event handler. I have to declare a new SignalR connection. And since we're using Studio, and it's got such wonderful IntelliSense, I could say varcon is equal to, there's my jQuery, dot hub connection. See that? Let me show you the interesting thing about that constructor. That first parameter says string URL. If I don't provide it, what do you think it's going to call back to? Same server. If I put a URL in there, it's going to call that server instead. SignalR supports the ability for you to do, and this is a bad word, don't panic, cross-site. So I can have my HTML with my JavaScript, and I can put the SignalR file right here in my site, and then I can make a call out to a hub that lives somewhere else, like, oh, I don't know, a Windows Azure Worker role, that I'm hosting it using Owen or self-hosting. I've done that in a couple of the demos. But I just want to point out that you're going to get nice, handy-dandy little IntelliSense stuff right there. And if I look at the methods that hang off the connection, the important one here is create hub proxy. What do I pass in there? What I pass in is whatever I've named it using that attribute. So I can just give it hub name, attribute, call it what I want to call it, and I can ask for it in JavaScript or native code or iOS, because they all support SignalR. They all support it. So I can basically just ask for that hub. What if I omitted that hub name attribute? What do you think I'm going to ask for? Chat hub. It's going to figure it out based on the name of the type. And I can use the little C or the big C. Doesn't matter. In the old days, you had to use a little C always in JavaScript. That was like what they did. That was sort of their obsessive behavior pattern. Okay? They got to have everything in lowercase in JavaScript. People panic and freak out. Kind of like they used to with XML. If you have a node named with a capital letter, forget about it. Okay, so here's the next thing. Remember that event handler that I talked about before? On, pretty simple syntax, right? Hub.on. Whenever the server calls onReceiveMessage, I am supposed to run this code right here. So the server's going to say, hey, client, run onReceiveMessage. Client has this code in there. He runs the method. The signature for this guy is going to be a name, specifically the name of the event handler, event name, and then function callback. When you tell me to do something and you tell me what to do, I'll do it. Does that make sense? This is when you should go, oh, that's why we have dynamic. That's why we have dynamic. Because now I can tell the client to do whatever I want. And if the client knows what to do, it'll just do it. That all just happens automatically. How many of you believe this is actually going to work? No hands should go up. Okay? You're like, this guy's crazy. This will never work. All right, so let me scroll down again here. I've got my client-side event handler. Whenever somebody clicks the send button, I want to invoke a method on my hub. First time I wrote this code, I guessed at it, and it worked. I said, well, I got this hub, I want to invoke a method. I wonder if there's, oh, there's invoke. Okay, is the first parameter? Yep, it's a string. Neat, huh? That hub name attribute, there's a method name attribute too. So if I don't want to call the method by the name that it really is, I can decorate each method with a method name attribute, call it Brady's favorite method, and in the code, I would call Brady's favorite method. And we're good. Is that cool? You guys like that idea so far? So I'm going to call invoke. And remember how in the send message guy takes a dynamic? JavaScript's a dynamic language. I wonder if I can send it a dynamic type. Yep. You can just create a type on the fly using JavaScript, like I've done right here, and send it whatever you want. So I'm creating an object in JavaScript. I've got a method that takes a type of dynamic, and I can send it that object. That serialization is going to happen on the fly for me. Anybody ever written custom serialization code? You know the follow-up question, did you like it? I didn't. Here's the next thing, cn.start. You see how I've got done hanging off of it? That should tell you something. It's asynchronous. When you look at SignalR code, it's like async await, async await, async await, async await, async everywhere. They have a utility class in SignalR's code. It's like task helpers. It's got like 400 methods in it. It's a mild exaggeration, but it's literally got like 400 methods in it. Because they use async await like they invented it. They may have invented it, but they use it like crazy. It's all asynchronous. Everything in SignalR is going to be asynchronous. And I'm wondering if they've deprecated the done function. Let me check. Done. Yeah, there it is. So I've got done. So I'm going to call start. When it's done, I'm going to run that method. I'm going to run this other callback that I've got in there. Is that groovy? You guys like that? All right, let me prove you wrong. So I'm going to hit F5 here, or I'm going to hit function F5 since these function keys are important. So this is going to pop up, and I'm going to get this handy-dandy little browser here. I'm just going to hit Control N to open up a new browser. I'm going to scroll this down a little bit, and I'll just type in some other user. Can you guys tell I love this keyboard? Is that cool? If it's not, you're probably asleep. Okay? All right. So that's all well and good. And I'll show you my favorite demo with SignalR. And this will go real quick, and I'll type it all out since I couldn't type out the other ones. But what I'm going to do here is I'm going to go into this guy. I should probably add a view here. I'll add a controller. Actually, I don't need to do that. I'm just going to put it all in index. Oops. That isn't good. So I've got this guy. What I'm going to do here is I'm going to go into Chat Hub, and I'm going to create a new hub, public class. I'm going to actually show you the template if it'll work on my machine. I'll click this guy, and I'll say Add New Item. Had issues with my install, so forgive me if it doesn't appear. But there it is, SignalR Hub class. Does that tell you that we're making an investment in SignalR? There's a file new item template in Visual Studio to make a hub class. Okay, so I'll go ahead and open that guy up. So here's this. What I'm going to do here is call this hit counter. It's my favorite demo. It's really silly, but you'll love it. So I've got a demo here, and I'll just say record hit. And I'm going to do something nobody should ever do in web programming, but it's a demo, so you know. See that? And now right here, I'm going to go hit count plus equal 1. How am I doing on time?
You probably stop in the next. You're over, but that's fine.
Okay.
Stop in the next couple of minutes,
okay.
And then we'll take it 10:15.
Okay, cool. So I've got a hit count right here, and I want to do clients.all, and I'll just invoke a new method on record hit. And you don't have to use my nomenclature. You can call it whatever you want. And I'll say hit count. Okay? So I've got this guy, and I'm not going to give it a name. I'm not going to give the hub a name. I'm just going to leave it hit counter. But what I'll do now is I'll go back into this page, this view. I'm going to scroll down here, and I'm going to create a new hub counter, and I'll just say cn.createHubProxy, and we'll call it hit counter. And what I'll do now is I'll go up here, and I'll put an H2, and I'll give it an ID of hit count. And I'm going to copy that because I'm lazy. And now I'm going to go right here and say counter.on. What did I call it? On record hit. Nobody's answering me. Yep, on record hit. And I'll say function. And I'm going to take an I. Okay. And now what I will do is basically change the text property of that hit count guy to whatever I got back. There we go. And you know, I've got that record hit method, so I actually have to call the hub somewhere. I have to call the hub to actually record the hit. So what I'll do is I'll go down here into my start done, and I'll add some code to call it counter.invoke. And we'll just call it record hit. And I'm actually testing something out real quick. One of the things that they did in the past was to call the methods on the server. Like I've got record hit right here. You have to call it little r record hit. I think they've changed that, but we're about to find out together. Okay, so I'm going to run this code one more time. And we've got a hit counter popping up. Maybe. One. Is that cool? You guys like that? It's kind of a cheesy example, but it's a build-up. All right. Now what I'll do is I'm going to go over here, and I'm going to override a method called onDisconnected. Wait a minute. Do you mean that thing is going to run when you close your web browser? Yes. That's exactly what I mean. When I close my web browser, the hub's going to run. But you told me it was real time. I'm not connected anymore. Yeah, I know. But I know that. And I want to do something once you're not connected, like log you out of Jabber or something like that. So what I'll do here is I'll just say hit count. Is that right? And I'll go up here and copy this guy, maybe. Put it down here. And we will run it again. Now what I've done is I've added a method override that will happen whenever I disconnect a client. I'll run a method on that hub. So I'll go ahead and open up a new browser. Close that browser. Okay. That happens every time I get blah, 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 blah. Everybody starts talking. So that's it. Online gaming. I can't show you this because we're not connected to the internet, but whenever we are, I want you to take down this URL. Firework, no S, firework.cloudapp.net. If you're connected to the internet, go ahead and go out to that site right now. Go ahead and go out to that site if you're connected. I am not connected. Once you get out there, start drawing on it. You'll start to see fireworks popping up. You should look at the JavaScript code. Heishi wrote it. It's absolutely insane. He's a madman. Since it's real time, I'm watching this guy's thing. There's at least 5 people playing right now. Is that neat? You guys dig that? So there's your online game. You can do this. While you're out there having fun, I'll go ahead and ruin the rest of the presenter's day. Go to Shooter. Is it shooter.signalr.net? Okay. So go to Shooter and try playing Shooter. I think you'll dig that. And of course, this thing is going to go into wacko mode for me. So I'll do extend again. And I'm just going to rerun this deck because I know John wants me to get done here. I'll just hit Shift, Control, F5. So there's our online gaming slide. And here are the components that I talked about earlier. 3 big components that you want to know about. The first one is clients. I've already shown you one of those, jQuery, JavaScript. Look at the other ones, native.net. You can have .NET talking to .NET in real time using SignalR. What's really interesting is when you're in the room with Clemens Vasters, the guy who kind of created the service bus, and you bring up SignalR, he becomes very reverent. He really likes it a lot. He digs SignalR. I think that's kind of a vote of confidence if the guy that created service bus likes SignalR. Because SignalR is what? Poor man's pub sub. It's basically pub sub that you can run on all those different platforms. WinRT supports it because, you know, WinRT supports JavaScript. Here are your hosts, ASP.NET, Owen's coming, I think. Don't quote me on that. And then the last one is a backplane. Backplane is extremely important, and here's why. I'll show you in a little bit of an animation. So let's say you've load balanced your website because you've created an Office web app and you've got 1 billion users and you know you need to scale out. And you've got an Office app that uses SignalR because you are the coolest developer in the world. Okay? What's going to happen on that load balance situation is the first guy is going to send a message and the message is going to go to his server and come back to him. But it's not going to go to the other servers because SignalR just runs on one box. It just runs on one server. So I just mitigated your love for SignalR, right? You're like, I'm not going to use that now. Well, here's the good part. There's this thing called a backplane. This backplane is technically service bus. That's what service bus looks like. If you're running in Azure, you want to use the service bus backplane. If you're not, there's a couple other ones. There's a SQL and Redis. I think SQL is just about done. Redis is done. I've used it. I had a demo, but I'm out of time, so I'm not going to show it. But if you're using a backplane, here's how it works. One guy sends a message, it goes back to the backplane, it comes back out of the backplane, it hits the other servers that are connected to the backplane, and everybody gets the response. That's how you get to 500,000 users or more. If you don't like your speed with 500,000, add another node, add another server. You just increased your throughput. Okay? Very important, because some of you are going to want to write web apps that use SignalR, and they're going to become very successful apps, and you're going to have to scale them out. And when you do, you're going to have to do this. The nice part about it is the guys that write SignalR and the guys that write the backplane talk to one another pretty much all the time. The way you hook up a backplane is one line of code. And I'm not just one line of code that's this long. It's one line of code with like four parameters. It's a method call, usually an extension method that hangs off of the dependency resolver for SignalR. And you call that method and you basically tell it what your service bus namespace is, how many topics you want to run on, da-da-da-da-da. Or if you're using Redis, you would tell it what the URL is, the username, the password, and the port. And it just starts using that backplane instead. What this does is it puts a layer behind your servers that all the messages go through and come back out again. Does that make sense? So you're comfortable now? Feel like you can scale out? That's one of the biggest questions asked. Service bus backplane, not going to show that demo right now. Just don't have the time, and that's where I work. So I hope you guys enjoyed it. Please try SignalR out. It is awesome.